We are the pastors here at Harvest, and we're so thankful if you're here. If this is your first time to be with us, we're so glad you're here. And I do want to thank you for your giving. We are in an 8-week series. This is a second week. Last week we talked about that Jesus gets our hunger and thirst. And today we're talking about that Jesus gets our rejection because he was rejected. One thing I just wanted to start off with, I share some kind of just fun stories about how I'm going to do this as much as I'm speaking in this series, about how Lori gets me and I get her. We have a similar sense of humor in certain things, and one of the things is we like messing with our kids in public. And so when they were younger, we would take them to the mall, and when they got old enough, Sky, especially Sky and Chase, and they would want to go into Hollister or Aeropostale or Abercrombie Kids, and we would go in there. Well, if you've ever been into an Abercrombie at all, the music is like house beat all the time, you know, dum, dum. So, I mean, you go in and you're immediately feeling rhythms and stuff. And so we would get in there. We'd wait a little bit, let the kids kind of get distracted with looking at clothes. And then next thing you know, we would start dancing and our kids would fly out of the store. They couldn't take it. Then as we've gotten older, Lori has done this thing. She's perfected it and it stretches on trips. She'll get out at places like if we stop at a Chevron or anything like that, she'll get out and do these stretches, but she'll also do them while our kids are near her. If you guys check this out, she's got it perfected down here pretty quick here, you guys. Yeah, video? That's kind of nice. It just says video. Oh, we don't have a video? It's in. We'll get it in second service. I'm sorry, you guys. She got saved this. We have it in the email. They'll pull it out next service. It's all right. If you want to see this video, come for the first part of the message in second service, and you guys can check it out. You are lucky. So, anyway, Jesus gets our rejection. Can I get an amen? And, and that's something that we just need to come to understand. In John 1:11, it says this right here. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. In Matthew chapter 8, if you look at the book of Matthew, and especially in chapter 8, that chapter is power-packed with miracles and things that Jesus was doing that you just kind of read. They're some of the greatest stories of miracles. Let me just give you how this chapter goes. First, he heals the man with leprosy. Then we know that he heals the centurion's servant who was paralyzed. We know that he heals Peter's mother-in-law. We know that he also heals many, everybody say many? Those many that were demon-possessed. We know that this is in the story in Matthew, is one of the accounts of him being in the boat when the waves on the Sea of Galilee, and he wakes up and he rebukes the wind and the waves and calms the storm. And we also have the last story of that he drives out demons out of two demon-possessed men. The demons go into pigs, and the pigs run down into the Sea of Galilee and die there. And here's the thing is that after all of that, the town still rejected him. Listen to how it ends in Matthew 8:34. It says, then everyone from the town went out to confront Jesus and urged him to leave them alone. In fact, the message says it this way. They said, get out and do not come back. Jesus gets us. He understands our pain when we are rejected because he himself was rejected. So I want to read one passage of scripture that comes out of Matthew 21. It's a little bit of reading, but I want to anchor today's message on this. And let's just go to it. It's Matthew 21, verses 33 through 44, and it says this. Pay close attention to this parable, Jesus said. There once was an honorable man who planted a vineyard, and he built a fence around it, dug out a pit for pressing the grapes, and erected a watchtower. Now, the honorable man who Jesus is talking about in this parable is he's referring to his father. This is God. And it says that afterward, he leased the land to the tenant farmers and then went a distance away. At harvest time, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect the portion that was due him as the Lord of the vineyard. Now, scholars also will look at this. And now, servants that they believe Jesus was referring to the prophets. So you have God being referred to and now the prophets. And it says this right here. But the tenants seized his servants, the prophets, and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. So the landowner sent other servants, even more than at first, but they were mistreated the same way. Finally, he sent his own son, this is referring to himself, Jesus. And he said to himself, perhaps with my own son standing before them, they will be ashamed of what they've done. But when the tenants saw the son, they said, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and then we can have his inheritance. So they seized him, took him outside the vineyard, and murdered him. Does that sound familiar to the crucifixion of Jesus? That they seized him, took him outside the city, and nailed him to a cross. You tell me, when the Lord of the vineyard comes, what do you think he will do to those tenants? And they answered, he will bring a horrible death to those who did this evil, and he will completely destroy them. Then he'll lease his vineyard to different tenants who will be faithful to give him the portion he deserves. And Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read the scripture that says, in referring to Psalms, the very stone the builder rejected as flawed has now become the most important cornerstone. This was the Lord's plan. Isn't it marvelous to behold? And this is why I say to you that the kingdom realm of God will be taken from you and given to a people who will bear its fruit. The one who comes against the stone will be broken, but the one on whom it falls will be pulverized. Jesus gets our rejection because he was rejected. Rejection is something that every person has faced one point and time in their life. It's going to happen. This is a every person issue. Everybody goes through this. Everybody faces this. And I want to talk a little bit. I just want to make sure that we're kind of looking at the difference between rejected and dejected. Rejected, or dejection, is this. It's the state of feeling sad, defeated, or depressed in response to bad news or a failed relationship, maybe not hearing anything back from a job application or lacking a sense of purpose or motivation. Whereas rejection is the actual state of being declined, not accepted, turned away, or even turned down for an opportunity. Some of the best ones that I can give you, just some illustrations, is when we see a young man kneel down on his knee to ask his girlfriend to marry him, and she says what? No. Or this one right here, like we have a song planned. It's a duet that Lori and I are going to sing together right now. Do you want to come up, Lori, and sing with me? See, right there, it's a rejection, straight up. Guys, we actually did a duet together back in 1990. You want that to come back? Bring that back? Yeah, okay, yeah, here we go. is that a firm rejection? Okay, thank you, okay. What does rejection do to a heart? Especially when rejection happens over and over. You see, to always be accepted is in our God-given DNA. That's what we want. We want to be accepted. That's why we look for a God. We look for a Lord that will love us always, no matter who we are and what we do. We desire to be accepted. So when we are not, it is always painful. I've shared the story before, but I think there's some in this room that haven't heard this before. But back in eighth grade, I had a girlfriend. We had only been going together for about 2 weeks. Y'all remember saying going together? So we were going together for 2 weeks. And so, you know, one day, you know, everything's going good. And we had been friends from sixth grade. Actually, we were friends through high school. But finally, we're going together. It's an amazing 2 weeks. And one day she meets me after school and she hands me a note. She used to hand me notes all the time. She'd spray perfume on them, and you'd open up and you smell it and read the note about how cute you are and all this kind of stuff. Well, this, when I get on the bus, she's staying at Raiderette's practice, which was like a marching cheerleading team. And I get on the bus and I can't wait to read my note. I go and get a seat by myself and I open it up and guess what? It is I want to break up. I don't think we should be boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever. And guys, I'm going to act this out for you. I'm on the bus. I don't say a word to anybody. I'm lost, you know, and I get off the bus. I don't say bye to anybody. I walk down the hill to my home. I go in the house. I don't even say hi to my dog. I go upstairs to my room, and you guys, I go right to my records, and I grab my Michael Jackson Off the Wall album, okay? And I reach inside, you guys. It took me a little bit to get there because of maybe some tears coming down my face or whatever. And I open it up and I flip it to the B-side. And I go over to my record player and I set it down and I put it on to She's Out of My Life by Michael Jackson on the Off the Wall. I go and lay on my bed, face down in my pillow, and I just let Michael Jackson take care of me with his song, trying to just get me through this. And it was the first time that a girl broke up with me. And guys, it really impacted me because it did something to me. You know what it did? It put me into a state of fear of being rejected like that again. So I actually treated girlfriends differently after that because it had such a horrible impact on me. The fear of future rejections had rose up in my heart and in my mind. Can I just say it this way without anybody getting ruffled up? Getting rejected just sucks. I didn't put it up on the screen. I wanted to, but I didn't. But guys, it does. There's not much worse than getting rejected. The fear of rejection, if allowed or unchecked, it can become a powerfully negative influence in our lives. And everybody else, all of a sudden, if we're not careful, they'll begin to run our lives because we're so afraid of being rejected by them. So now we're doing what they want us to do. We do what they think is right. Their desires have become our desires, just to be liked and just to be accepted. And let me give you this one, just to avoid rejection. And guys, here's the thing is, rejection always comes with arms. It comes with other things. And avoid is one of them. Guys, check this out. Avoid is to escape or to elude, to shun or evade. And if we're not careful, it'll become a habitual practice to where just out of the fear of being rejected, we will withdraw before we're supposed to. Or we won't even try, or we'll immediately leave. And this is not what God, I don't believe this in any part of my body, in my heart or spirit, that this is what God wants for our lives. This cannot be the plan that Jesus is willing to walk us through. So I want to give you 3 points to encourage you to dealing with rejection. The first thought is this, is stop reliving past rejections. Trash or treasure what I'm about to say to you. Past rejections do not have the power to cancel what God intends for us today. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Past rejections do not have the power to cancel what God intends for us today. I had a friend, I met him and his wife back in mid-90. They came to our church out in California, Northern California. And they were a mess. Their marriage was falling apart. They were trying to raise 2 young kids. They were struggling. Well, we began to minister. Lori and I kind of take them under our wing, and we're trying to help them through this. And at one point, I begin to understand that my buddy, he just keeps trying to kind of blow up his situation. Like, he just keeps trying to self-destruct. So I took him out to lunch one day, and I said, dude, you got to tell me, where does this self-destruction come from? And he sat there. And he just looked at me, and some tears started coming into his eyes, and he goes, Matt, this started back when I was like 6 years old, when my father in Mexico looked at me and said, I don't want to be your dad anymore. I don't want to be married to your mom anymore. I'm leaving you. And guys, let me just tell you what, that rejection led my friend down a destructive road of horrible decisions from that point on. He couldn't stay in school because he was being expelled from every school that he went into. He finally joins some gangs in Northern California to try to just have brotherhood. Has to go to San Quentin for a couple years for almost murdering a pizza delivery guy just to take his money. He gets into prison and realizes this is not where he wants to be and decides he wants to get out of the gang. And the gang has to almost beat him half to death before they'll let him out. He comes out, meets his wife. And they have 2 children at that time. And guys, guess what? That rejection spirit had followed him into his marriage. And so here it is now. He's raising his kids in this way of thinking. He's on drugs. He's doing alcohol. He can't hold a job. And what happened was that my friend allowed the rejection to have power over everything. Everything. I am not trying to say that our past rejections are not painful. And I don't want anybody to walk out of here thinking that. What I want to say is, especially when rejection comes from people that we love and respect. That stuff just hurts. And I just want to encourage everybody that Jesus gets us and that he wants to help us to stop reliving what is pain-driven and start walking in what is life-giving. Is that good, you guys? Get out of the pain and start living our lives in life. Psalms 55, 12 through 14. You guys, look at this right here. It isn't the neighborhood bully. This is David talking. King David. It isn't the neighborhood bully mocking me. I could take that. This isn't a foreign devil spitting invective. Guys, invective, man. When I heard that word, I was like, what in the world's invective? There might not be people talking invective to me, and I don't know what that is, you know what I mean? And so invective is insulting or abusive or highly critical language. So he's saying, this isn't a foreign devil speaking invective. I could tune that out. But it's you. We grew up together. You, my best friend. Those long hours of leisure as we walked arm in arm, God, a third party to our conversation. King David is saying, this was my dude. This was my bro. It was me and him arm in arm and just God above us. And he was my friend. And who he's referring to is Ahithophel. Ahithophel was once his friend and advisor and now is his betrayer working with his son Absalom. So even King David understood what rejection was like. But look how he handles it. In the same chapter down in verse 16, but as for me, I will call upon the Lord. Every evening I will explain my need to him. Every morning I will move my soul toward him. Every waking hour worshiping him and pausing in his presence. He understood that the only way he was going to get past this betrayal and this rejection was to take it to God. King David didn't want to be trapped in a vicious cycle of reliving the past. We need Jesus and his Holy Spirit to help us deal with the roots of rejection in our lives, to move past what is pain and to get in what is life-giving. Amen? Here's my second encouragement. We need to remove the roots of rejection. So stop reliving past rejections and remove the roots of rejection. Getting to the root of rejection. You know, let me just use divorce. And I'm not thinking about anybody. There's no one in particular in mind here. I just know that with divorce, is you have a husband and a wife that they get to a place to where they can't do it anymore. And what goes down is that there is a rejection that goes back and forth between them, that they feel rejected in some way. But here's the other thing that happens. If they have kids, that rejection bleeds down into the kids. It happens. We know that also that hurtful words can come to some, like my buddy that I just talked about, where a parent says something to you when you were young, and that rejection sticks with you for the rest of your life. A friend betrayal, not being accepted. Guys, we have to begin to look at what is it? What is it that raises up in me? Why do I get so defensive? And we need to deal with the roots. This is you and I saying, God, tear up all my feelings. I just want to sit before you. I want you to dig inside me, and I want you to tear it all up. I want you to grab the roots of my views, my perspectives, my life, and I want to know what is going on inside of me. I need your help. Why am I so angry? Why are my emotions so out of control? Why do I get trapped all the time in self-pity? Taking this to Jesus and allowing him to expose and remove all the roots of rejection, because it will bring fresh revelation, and most importantly, it will set us on a path of healing and being set free. Here's the thing that I want you guys to also think about, that getting to a place of healing, even on that journey to being fully healed, we're still going to have moments of pain. Is everybody with me when I say that? When I had COVID in 2020, I had it for, I don't know how many weeks it was. It was 5 or 6 weeks. And I remember that when the doctors finally kind of got me a plan to trying to get me to come out of COVID, that the doctor, I remember him looking at me. He says, "Now, Matt, you're going to have a week or two where you're going to feel like you're getting worse." And guys, guess what? He was right, because I had to have multiple shots. I went home, had to come back and get more shots. I had to take pills. The coughing, just to get the stuff out of my chest, I had slightly fractured on both sides of my rib cage of separating my ribs from my cartilage from coughing so much. So it felt like I was literally going to die even after they gave me the medicine. But you know what happened was? Finally, I came out of it. Is everybody with me? Just some moments of pain, but I was on my way to being healed. And here's the thing is that in the Bible, I think of all the places and times that Jesus was rejected, not just in the Gospels, But where even the prophets and the Psalms point to this rejection that's going to come, even to the disciples and their views in the New Testament of how their Savior was rejected, he gets it. And church, that is huge. He gets me. He gets us. He understands 100% the pain of rejection. But what he wants for us is a next level experience that goes beyond our pain. And this is what you might be saying. You say, Pastor Matt, well, I thought I was good. You might be even sitting here right now and you might think that I'm good. But I want to tell you something. God is sitting there saying, no, I need to get some time with you and we need to go deeper. Let's get to the root of this issue. And you're not alone. And he loves to get into the middle of the fires of rejection because he is there. I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they have been thrown into this furnace because they won't bow to an idol. And then we know in Daniel 3:25, it says, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. No matter how many times, no matter how big the fire is in our rejection, he is there. Come on, church. He's going to be there. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Star Trek Next Generation. You guys remember Lieutenant Worf? Yeah, check this out. He's a handsome dude. He's one of my favorite characters, actually. But anyway, Lieutenant Worf is notoriously known for he gives suggestions and they get rejected. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. You can go on YouTube right now and put in Lieutenant Worf rejections, and they have a 15-minute video just of solid rejections in all of the shows, just showing how many times he gets rejected. Things like this right here. Captain, I recommend battle stations. He goes, delay that order. You know, says, I recommend going to yellow alert. Delay that order. Let's use photon torpedoes. Delay that order. Deploying the shields, Captain, I recommend evasive maneuvers. Delay that order. And guys, here's the thing is, he understood his job, what he was called to do. And he continued being Lieutenant Worf despite the many rejections. And here is a truth bomb, and I'm going to give you some truth things today, but here's the first one. Rejection will always have a next level. If we're not going to take this to God, I can promise you, rejections don't just start with that one rejection. There's something that continues in it. It can go to a next level. So if that is true, then we need to be intentional about the next levels that we have in Jesus. Amen? That we're going deeper with him. And guys, listen, in social media now, we live in a day and a time where we get immediate rejections. I remember back, like, if I went roller skating back in 7th, 8th grade, you know, I could have a great time with all my friends and this whole thing, and then my dad would come and pick me up, or mom, and I'd go home. I wouldn't know if my buddies went to Shakey's Pizza or Pizza Hut or wherever they went, or Mr. Gaddy's. I wouldn't have any idea that they went. I probably wouldn't even know that they went and did this until, like, 5 days later because we just didn't have social media. But now our kids, it's not even just our kids, our young adults, and even us, we can get our feelings hurt very quickly when we see our buddies that got together and we didn't get invited. All of a sudden now we've got rejection and all now in our spirits it's rising up. Why didn't he invite me? Man, I can't believe they went to that concert and didn't invite me. All of a sudden it's instant. It's instant. It's immediate rejection. Now we also live in a culture, a cancel culture. Here's the thing is they tried to cancel Jesus. That's what that video was at the very front, that what the things he was standing for and everything. They tried to shut him up. They tried to cancel him. And here we are. We're living in it now. I don't like that on the phone. Cancel it. I don't agree with that. Cancel. In real time, being blocked, ghosted, roasted, canceled, rebuked, cursed, and rejected. Social media has made it an easier form not to just root it, to be a root of rejection, but to also bring bitter. Everybody say bitter. Bitter roots of rejection. And it's so hard to watch people that we love go through times where they're feeling a little rejected or a lot rejected. I remember my daughter, I had to ask her for permission to talk about this, but when she was like a junior, senior, I know it's going through maybe a couple of those years, but, you know, Sky had just made a decision. I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. And her friends knew this about her, and at first they would kind of invite her over to go do things and whatever, but then when they decided they wanted to watch rated R movies, or they wanted to watch, or they wanted to, there was going to be some drinking, or who knows what else would be going on. All of a sudden, she would just notice, like, I'm not being invited to these things. And I remember she would see things on the phone. She would see that her friends were together, but she wasn't there. But I just knew that even though she's going through this pain at this time, her stance to stay as close to Christ as possible was going to be a blessing in the long run, amen? But it's not easy to watch that go down. No human being is going to give you what God can only give you. Friends, we need to allow God to uproot, to tear out any new or old roots of rejection, removing rejection and putting on his freedom. Galatians 5:1 says it this way: at least we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Jesus gets our rejection because he was rejected. Here's my third and final thought, and it's this right here: God's plan is all about freedom. Can you give me an amen about that? Isn't that amazing that God's plan is always going to be about freedom? You and I, fully released by the power of his Holy Spirit to function in his freedom. You guys, look at this scripture, John 8:36. It says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." And when I think of being free, when I think about being released from my past, my hurt and my rejection, I feel that's when people actually get to see the real me. When I'm not operating in my place of freedom or rejection, or I'm sorry, of being hurt and rejected, actually I'm operating in a place of freedom, then people get to see the real Matt Stewart as God intended. Back in 1984, I had gone with a buddy of mine to go see Van Halen. We had pretty good seats. We were sitting there. We were waiting on them to come on. And, you know, when you go to a concert like that, at that venue, they kind of match the music for that. So you're hearing things like from Boston and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC, Rat, Quiet Riot. You just go down the list. They're playing all this music. You kind of, you know, first you're paying attention to the music, but then you start talking and you're not really focusing on what's being played. And then all of a sudden, we just heard this come on. I'm at a Van Halen concert, and they start playing Cool in the Gang, Celebration. And guys, at first we were sitting there, and we didn't even know what to do. Okay, that's good enough, guys, on the music. And so we're sitting there, and we're all kind of looking around. We don't really know what to do, but guys, by the time we hadn't even gotten through the first verse of that song, 19,000 people were singing it, clapping their hands, dancing, because it just didn't matter. It didn't matter if you nobody was caring. Is somebody going to mock me for liking this song? It didn't matter. Does everybody understand? They were free and released to enjoy the song. There was no fear of being mocked or rejected. And as your pastor, my heart is to see all of us. Everybody say all of us. All of us, including me, being set free and released to do what God has called us to do. Even when we are released, even while we are actively walking out his calling on our lives, we will still face times of rejection. And for some of us, you know, and my thing is I don't pray this over anybody, but I just know that the enemy is always scheming to bring times of rejection in our lives. And while we still are facing it, we are going to face some of the most painful times of our lives, and we will still face closed doors. But this is what I have to say about a closed door. A closed door here is just another God opportunity somewhere else. A rejection today doesn't mean that I am discounted tomorrow. It's our focus. Are we staying focused on Jesus, his words, his plan? What is he saying? His love, his leading. If our focus changes, this is what's going to happen. Instead of hearing what God says, we're going to be saying, what's wrong with me? What are others saying? Insecurities will rise up. We'll only see what's bad and we'll only hear what hurts. Our focus must stay on Jesus and his freedom. Guys, look at this scripture. I don't know how many times we've read this before. Look at this in 1 John 1:5. God is light. In him, what does that say? There's no darkness at all. So just look at that scripture for a second and read it again. That there is no darkness at all. And this is right here. This is so important. What that scripture is saying is that God doesn't have a dark side. He's not scheming on how to trip you up. He's not looking for tests that want to bury you into the ground. He doesn't have a dark side. He doesn't plan for us to be hurt or betrayed. And if we don't 100% believe that God is good, listen to what I just said. If you can't 100% believe that God is good, we will never consistently go to him in moments of our rejection and our hurt. Look at Psalms 119. 119:60 says, you are good and do only good. In the message, it actually says, you are the source of good. When we don't go to him, we will hurt. We will have shame. We will experience blame and depression. We will curse others. People will curse us. We might want to curse God. We will suffer with anxiety. We will imagine the bad, and we will get sidetracked. But when we do stay with Jesus and in his will, look at how it flips. All of a sudden, now we're operating in a place of love and in wisdom and purpose. We're recognized by him. We get a reboot, God time, and we remind ourselves of who we are and who our God is. God's plan is all about freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Come on, say that louder. Freedom. God's plan for you and I will always be total acceptance when it comes to him. I want to bring this to a close and ask the worship team to come on up. And I want to just look at Isaiah 53:3. It's just a short part of this chapter, but Isaiah is pointing to this, and he says this right here. He says, he was despised and he was rejected by men. That our Lord and Savior, he was pointing to it. He knew that our Lord and Savior, Jesus, would be put on a cross to die, that he would be despised, and he was rejected by men. I think about this Joseph story. Can you imagine being in a family that really, how big that family was, I don't know, but there was 12 brothers. 10 of the 12 wanted Joseph dead. They wanted him gone. They wanted his story to end. I try to think about that. I think about like families. I think about large families where that over 80% of your family hates you and wants you gone and wants to beat you, throw you into a cistern to later kill you, but then end up selling you into slavery. Don't even care where you're going or how your story ends. But that's exactly the rejection that Joseph himself faced. I had a buddy. Well, let me set the story up a little bit. When we moved out here in 2007, I was pastoring in a church in Chesapeake. There was a guy that was there working with me. He was the youth pastor. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to act like I'm Mr. Spiritual all the time. We just didn't like each other very much. He rejected some of the things I wanted to do in the associate part. I wasn't really too keen about some of the stuff he was doing in youth. So we just didn't get along. My wife would say, let's have them over for dinner. I'd say, don't you dare. You're like, guys, listen, this is where I was. It was my attitude. I was like, don't do that, and so his marriage was struggling. In fact, CBN's done an amazing story on them, just what God has done for them, but their marriage was struggling. And he comes to me humble and wants to go out to a lunch with me one day to just talk about Lori and I's marriage. What are we doing? What's working? What is right? And guys, wouldn't you know it that over that, we became some of the fastest friends. This is a picture of me and Steve right there at Hezekiah's Tunnel in Israel. We became fast, long-life friends still to this day. So much so, from going from a spirit of both of us feeling like we were rejected to so much so that Lori jokes that we used to text each other every night saying, good night, bro. Hope you have a good night's sleep. Good night, bro. I hope you have some good sweet dreams. And she would kind of tease us. His wife would tease us. But we became these fast friends. But you know what, guys? None of that would have happened if we couldn't have got past our spirit of rejection. Guys, it had gotten into a bitter root in me, a bitter root in him. But God came in and did something beautiful in that relationship. And today we're still connected in lifelong friends. Psalms 34:19, and I close with this. The righteous person. What did we talk about last week with righteous? What did righteousness mean? I gave it just kind of an easy explanation for it. Righteous is this. is that we know God and that we're doing our best to live for him. That we're living a righteous life. That we want to live a life of righteousness. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Isn't that a great scripture? Stop living past rejections. Remove the roots of rejection, and God's plan is all about freedom. Can we all stand? Let's put our stuff aside. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer real quickly here.